So we've been in a series that we called Health to All Their Flesh. So let's go ahead and turn over to Proverbs 4. That's our text, and then we'll move on. But let's read Proverbs 4. You know, Sunday mornings we have a scripture sheet. Look up scriptures as well. But if you just go ahead and turn to Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4, verse 20. Everybody there? Proverbs 4, verse 20. Thank God. It says, "My son, give attention to my words and incline your ears unto my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you." Verse 20 says, "My son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart." And that's something we have to stay on. I just wish that you could put the word in once and it would just stay and you could go on autopilot, but it's not that way. We have to be diligent to keep our eyes on the word, our eyes on what he's saying. Our eyes on the Word of God versus all the different voices and all the different philosophies that are in the earth. You're bombarded with them every day, unless you're just at your house and don't get on the internet and don't talk to a single person. But all you have to do is talk to people that talk to pretty much anybody, even some Christians. Get on the internet, watch TV, and you're going to be, whether you know it or not, ideas that are contrary to the Word of God are going to be coming at you. You talk to somebody and they don't believe God. And so you're here, whatever comes out of their mouth, it's not necessarily godly. I'm not saying they're speaking evil. I'm saying there are things that they've been influenced over their lives from the time they were little kids, and they're saying stuff and they might believe it's truth to you. They might be sincere, they might be nice, they might even be trying to help you, but if it's not based on the Word, if you're not careful, it'll pull you away. And you have to be careful, because people that are well-meaning and sincere, that doesn't, just because they want to help doesn't mean they are helping if they're not giving you the Word. And you don't have to adhere to somebody's advice or try to, you know, some people, they don't want to offend somebody, so they'll listen to all kinds of stuff that they shouldn't be listening to. Sometimes in certain situations, you just need to shut it down. If you're dealing with something in your body, and somebody wants to talk about how bad it is and how you're doing here, and they may want to help, but if they're talking about natural prognosis, natural remedies, things that... How that usually turns out, you don't necessarily need to hear that. You need to hear what God's saying about it, and you need to take your attention off that. And I'd rather risk somebody being offended with me than die or to be crippled. Or, you know, we can't afford, it doesn't mean you have to be mean, but you can just say, you know, I'd rather not talk about that. Let's talk about this, or just change the subject. And you have to. You got to get, sometimes you just have to get out of certain people's presence. Even if they're people that you know, even if they love you, even if they're family, we need to incline our ear unto His Word and what He's saying. He said, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." The very issues of life are in your heart. And if you don't guard your heart, you're open. You're open to attack. You're open to be swayed by the ideas of this world, which ultimately, if they're not godly, they came from the god of this world, who is the devil. He has influenced and brought all kinds of ideas into the world that aren't godly. They might sound good, but they don't hold up over time. And we have to be careful what we let in our heart, because like the Bible says, out of it flow the very issues of life. Now let's turn, we talked about these last several times about the will of God and how God's Word is His will, how He spoke to us by His Son, Jesus. Let's go ahead really quick, recap, then we'll go ahead and move on. Go to Acts 10:38. I'm not going to go through everything we went through last time, but Acts 10:38, we'll read that verse and go on. We said that the Word of God is, it's His will. The Bible says to attend to His words. His words are His will. Jesus is the Word, the Bible says in John, that the Word was made flesh in John 1. And that He came and walked among us. And the Bible says that Jesus came down. And in John 6:38 it says, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me. Why don't you hold your finger in Acts and just read John real quick. We'll read these two and we can move on after that. Go to John 6. John 6 and Acts 10. All right, how many fingers you guys have? So you just need two, but then you need another one to turn. So just hold your finger in Acts 10 and in John 6 and just go to John 1, because we'll read that again too. We'll just hit these several scriptures and read what we did last week, and then we'll go on, I think. But John 1, verse 1. Yes, I'm doing it with three fingers, so I know you guys can do it. John 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. Well, how did the universe come into existence? Well, there you go. Nothing was made. Nothing that was made without Him. All things were made through Him. Verse 4, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then it says, verse 5, the light shines in the darkness did not comprehend it. He came down and He shone on this earth. Verse 14 then says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's Jesus. So Jesus was with God in the beginning. Jesus always has been. He is God. He was with God at the beginning. He was God. And He came down and became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now go over to Luke 6:38. It says, for I have come down from heaven. We just read that the Word became flesh. That's Jesus. Came down into this earth. He is God. He is the Word. He became flesh. Verse 38 says, John 6:38, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. So Jesus came to do the will of the Father, the will of God the Father. So if you've seen Jesus acting, you've seen the will of the Father. Jesus didn't do anything of His own. He did what the Father's will was. He did what the Father told Him to do. His whole life, even unto death at the end, His flesh did not want to go to the cross. The Bible says, for the joy that was set before Him, He endured. His flesh didn't want to do that. No more than your flesh would want to do that. But He was obedient in all things. So it says, he says, for Jesus, this is Jesus saying, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. So go over to Acts 10:38 then. Acts 10:38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. See, God, Jesus is God, but he's dwelling on the earth as a man. He didn't walk on the earth as God. That's why you don't see him doing anything, any miracles or anything, before he was baptized. And the Spirit descended on him like a dove. The Holy Spirit, the power of God, the anointing of God came on him. Now, he was God his whole life. He was God in the flesh. The Bible says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. But he did not walk on this earth as God. He walked on the earth. He's 100% man, 100% God, and he walked on this earth as a man anointed by the Spirit. And so, you know, he didn't go around and you'd have to add to the Bible to say that Jesus did a miracle before he was baptized. There is no account of that. There is no account of him going around healing anybody or anything before he was anointed. He did what the Father told him to do, and he had to be anointed, as it says here. Why? Because he was walking as a man. He was God, but he was walking. He had to walk as a man. That's the only way he could take our place. If he came and did it as God, it's not the deal. He had to come and defeat sin as a man. He had to endure what you and I endure. If it was just he could walk as God, well, that's not fair. And who would call him on that's not fair? The enemy. This isn't a game. There are legalities that have been put in place. There are laws. God himself is divine justice. He can't break that. He can't say, well, this is the way it ought to be, so I'm going to make it. No, he had to come through the system. The devil usurped the authority. Adam willingly bowed his knee to Satan, did what he told him to do. And the Bible says, to whom you yield yourselves to obey, you're his slave. And that's what Adam did. He bowed his knee to Satan. Satan enticed him to do that because he knew. He knew the law. And he knew if he can get Adam to bow his knee, then he has authority over Adam. So Satan wiggled his way in and took over. Well, God can't come in and say, time out, do over, I don't like that. Now God has to redeem mankind legally. So he has to get man to agree with him. He told Adam that first of all, there's a curse, but then there was going to be a seed that's going to come into the earth. And he said that seed is going to take the serpent out. But he had to start prophesying and getting that to happen and getting men to agree with him so that it could happen in the earth. And that's why it took a long time. Why didn't God just send a son down? He can't just do that because he's dealing with laws in this earth. He can't and still be just because he's got an accuser that's going to say, that's unjust. You're unjust. You can't do that. So God had to get men to cooperate, prophesy, say these things into existence so that the virgin could be with child and bear Jesus. The Word could become flesh. He had to get men to agree with him. So then you see in verse 38, it says how God anointed Jesus. If Jesus is God and he's already acting as God, he doesn't need to be anointed. But he is not acting and walking as God. The things that he did on this earth were not done as God. They were done as a man anointed by the Holy Spirit. Which is good news for you and me. Because some people say, well, that was Jesus. That's why he could do things. No, no. What he did, he was a man and walked flawlessly. Only he could do it. But the miracles that he did, he was anointed without measure. But the miracles that he did were not because he was God. It was because he was cooperating with the anointing and the power of God that was on him. Which is good news. Because that means we don't need some special power. We don't need to be God. Because we just need to act like Jesus. He's our big brother. He walked this earth as a man anointed by the Spirit. Well, then you can do the same thing. I didn't say you're going to do everything that Jesus did. You got to be led by the Spirit of God, but the power and the potential is there to do anything he said in his word that you could do. So verse 38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Just ask yourself, why did he have to be anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power? He's God. Jesus is God. It's talking about how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit. That's the Trinity. If he's just God, he doesn't need any of that. He is God, but the Bible says he laid aside his power and came and walked as other men. So he's walking. God had to anoint him with the Holy Spirit so he could do what he did. And he walked this earth as a man anointed with the power of God, and he went in the power of the Holy Spirit. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and what did he do? Who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. As you can see it so clearly. God was with him. Well, he is God, I thought. Yeah, but he's walking as a man. He had to be anointed. God was with him. So he's an example to you and I. Good. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. So the devil's the oppressor. He lords it over men and women. Because he is the God of this world, and he'll take advantage anywhere he can. But Jesus came to set men free. Jesus came to do the will of the Father. What's the will of the Father? You can see it right here. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. What did Jesus do? We read that he came down, the Word was made flesh. We read that Jesus said, I come to do the will of the Father. Then what did he do? He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, because for God was with him. God was with him to carry out his will, which is what Jesus did, which was what he went around doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Is that too simple? Right there, you can believe for healing for anything, because if you know it's God's will, and you know Jesus came to do the will of the Father, and he came and healed all. He didn't say, well, he left out a few because you know it's just not his will. He didn't say that. The Bible does not say that. It says he came and he healed all. He did good and healed all. And he does not change. So we've spent a few services, spent a few messages on that it's his will. He does not change. So it's his will right now for us to be well and healed. We don't have to wait. You don't have to wait. You don't have to wait. If you believe that right now in the middle of service, even while we're still preaching, you can receive healing and say, yep, that's it. I've been waiting for nothing. He's willing. I'm healed. And you just start acting like you're healed. Why? Because he said it. Well, if he said it, I am. Well, it doesn't look like it. Well, I don't care. He said it. So that's his will. That's what Jesus said. I believe it. And right there, those three verses, you can receive healing and never look back. No matter what it looks like, you say, no, no, no. No, that's what Jesus came for. I'm healed. Now turn over to Matthew 7, which is where we left off last time. We were just getting in this. We read it, and then we left, pretty much. But Matthew 7... verse 7... Y'all there? Matthew 7:7 says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you." Now stop right there. Verse 7, ask, and what? It will be given to you. Seek, and you what? You might find if it's a good day. If it's Tuesday and the sun's shining and God's face is shining on you, then you'll find. That's not what it says. It says, seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. Now, I don't know what your Bible says here. You know, any of the headings and stuff, that's not Scripture. Okay? I don't know what your Bible says, but I have a New King James Version, and right over verse 7 it says, keep asking, seeking, and knocking. Is that what we just read? Does it say keep doing those things, or just does it just say ask? See, that's a religious mindset. That's not true. It doesn't say that. It says, ask and it will be given to you. You have to be careful. You have to be careful about religious ideas, and you have to be careful about paraphrases. There, I thank God for Bibles and versions that put things in modern language, but you got to compare. You don't build doctrine off of those, okay? They're helps. I use them to make things clear, but you have to make sure you go back to, like, the New King James Version is pretty much word for word. There's different versions that are more literal. The King James Version is actually very good. The New King James is just updating the these and thous to use. And there's other ones like that are word for word. They're not literal, like, they don't read like the Greek, because it's a little bit awkward, but it's going to be very accurate. And then you have something like the NIV is like a thought for thought. So it's not word for word. They say, well, this is what it said. Well, right there, you got to make sure the thought lines up with the actual thought in the Bible, not what you thought it said. And then you get to where they're just kind of, well, thought for thought, but even a little looser. And then you have kind of just paragraph for paragraph. There's things that are, you know, I'm not knocking things, I'm giving you examples, but like the Message is a paraphrase. You look at it, it won't even have verses in some place. It just means, it's just saying, well, this is basically what I think this is saying. But it's good, it's really good in some places. Other places you're like, what? That doesn't really sound like the original. That's because anything that is not going word for word, by definition, is inserting something. And it starts to depend on the person that's inserting it. And it's impossible for that person's doctrine not to get in there. So you have to just, you use these things with just eyes open. And don't rely on it. You don't build doctrine off of those things, but it's good as a tool. Sometimes you go, wow, that puts it in just a fresh way. And I can see that's what the Bible's saying when you look at it, the original, but I've never seen it like that. That's great. That's how we ought to use it. But here, and so you'll see different things. This is the heading. But you'll see then people bring that into other translations. That's what it'll read. It'll say keep asking, because there people have got that in their head. But it doesn't say that. It says ask and it will be given to you. Is that hand wavy? Is that uncertain? It's pretty black and white, or red and white, in my Bible. It says, ask and it will be given to you. Well, I just don't know. I've been asking and asking and asking God. Okay, what did we just get done saying? Is it God's will, in this case, for us to be well and healed, or not? It is. So, if we ask, and it's His will, and we know that's what Jesus came to do is the will of the Father, and we ask, and the Bible says it will be given to us, what's the problem? I asked and it didn't happen. How do you know it didn't happen? Well, it didn't change. That's not the same thing as it not happening. You need to stay there and say, God's word is true. Well, I don't get it. This has got to change. This will change. I mean, either God's a liar or the symptoms are temporary and have to change. And if we'll line up with what He says, then things will move. But as long as we're like, Oh, I'm going to ask one more time. I'm going to take a good run at it, and here we go. I'm going to ask. And then we check. Oh, didn't work. You stay there forever. Because when are you going to start believing? When you see it. That's not what the Bible said. It said, we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. So what do? You say, I asked, it's His will, He said I receive, therefore I got it. Well, you don't look like you got it. Bible says I have it, so I have it. I'm going to act like I have it, because He said I have it. Just because I don't see it, doesn't mean I don't have it. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have seen the fact that you're born again? Show me. Well, I'm born again. Show me. How do I know? Well, show me. I know. Well, how do you know? Well, the Bible said. Well, it's the same thing. How many of you have been to heaven? How do you know it's true? How do you know there's a heaven? Show me. See, this is where people get off. Well, show me God. Prove it. Okay. So how do you know you're born again? How do you know there's a heaven? You have to take His word. It's that simple. If we would use the same faith that we use, that we got born again with, and just say, I don't care if I ever see anything. He said it. I believe Jesus walked the earth. I mean, how do you know Jesus walked the earth? How do you know He was born of a virgin? Because it says it. You're believing the word. So how do you know you're healed when you can't see it? He said it. That's got to be enough. He said it. I'm going out. I'm healed. Yeah, but you don't look any different. That doesn't matter. I'm healed. Ask and it will be given to you. I was just reading in the health food book. We'll read that in the evening. And there was this account, I've heard about it too. I heard Brother Hagin say it. But, on recording. He was talking about, he had, after he got up and he was healed, there was a point where he had something, he woke up, I think he woke up with it, but his face was on one side was not working. And he said he would smile, and just the one side of his face would smile. And the other side wouldn't, it wasn't working. And so he determined there was a Pentecostal church that he would go, that he knew of, and he said, I'm going down there, I think it was Wednesday or whatever the next day was, I'm going down there, I'm going to have the pastor pray for me, and I'm going to receive my healing. And so he did. He went up there. He was waiting. It was at some point in the service or at the end of the service, and he said, he came down to get, he told him that he wanted to be prayed for his face. And he said, he went up there, and the pastor prayed, and he said, I didn't hear a word he said. He was just waiting for amen. And at that point, he was going to hook up and believe he was healed. He was going for a point of contact, saying, I'm going to believe. When he lays his hands on me, then I'm healed. When he prays, then I'm hooking up. I'm saying I'm healed. So he said, to be honest with you, I didn't hear a word he said. I was just waiting for amen. As soon as he said amen, he said, that's it. I got it. I'm healed. And nothing had changed. His face looked exactly the same. And so he was going. And going back, and there's this lady, this girl called Imogene, and he's walking with her, and you really got healed? Yep, I'm healed. Well, your face doesn't look any different. But you say you're healed? Yep, I'm healed. But your face doesn't look any different. And they went back, I guess they went back to her parents' house, and they were on the way back to church or whatever. They dropped in and said, well, Ken says he got healed, but look, his face doesn't look any different. And he said he would smile, and the one side would go up, and the other side wouldn't go up. And the lady just kept on him about it, kept saying, well, I don't know. I don't know why you're saying you're healed. If God healed you, you would have it. And he said, I received my healing. I'm healed. And finally, the mother said, Imogene, maybe Ken knows something we don't. Maybe you should just get off his case, basically. And so he went home, and I can't remember the exact deal, but I think he woke up the next day, and his face was all normal, and he met Imogene, and she comes up to him and said, "Well, I see you got your healing." And he said, "No, I got my healing when I was prayed for. That's when I got it." She goes, "Okay, whatever." See, that's exactly where a lot of people are. "Well, did you get your healing?" "No, well, it doesn't look like it." "Guess you didn't get it." What does the Bible say? "Ask and you will receive." It says knock or seek and you will find, knock and it will be open. It's His will. And if we ask, we have to get convinced, and we're talking about inclining our ears, that His Word is health to all our flesh. It's His Word. We have to let His Word be the authority. We can't say, "Well, we can't yield to other ideas. Well, I don't know. It just doesn't look like I'm healed." See, that's not His Word. What we're talking about is His Word. His Word says that Jesus came to show the will of the Father. The Bible says Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. The Bible says it's His will for us to be healed. The Bible says if we ask, we will receive. That's what the Word says. So we have to incline our ears to that. That Word will be health to all our flesh, but we have to yet let it do that. We have to let it be the authority. We have to let it be the thing that we incline our ear to. Hallelujah. It's got to be the authority. It's got to be the thing that we yield to. We have to believe that this means us. So right now, if we feel like, "Well, I know, but I've asked." See, we're falling. Our mind is not made up that what we just read is true. Somehow, there are thoughts disqualifying us from this. What does that mean? We're not letting the Word be the authority. We are letting symptoms or other thoughts be the authority. And they will rob us. We'll say, "Well, it doesn't look like. It doesn't feel like." And when we say, "No, it is. He said it. He's not a liar. I believe it. That's it. I'm healed." "Well, you don't look like it." "It doesn't matter what I look like. God Almighty said it. I believe it. He said if I ask, I receive. I'm one of the ones that receive. Period. Me." "Well, that's for somebody else." No, it's not. See, that's not inclining His ear. He did not say certain people. Bible says Jesus came, he went about healing good or doing good and healing all. Everybody that came to Jesus in faith was healed. He did not turn one away. So why would we think He's turning us away? Because of religion. Because we've been brainwashed. Because we're looking around saying, you know, people are saying all kinds of things, discounting what we're talking about tonight. Amen. But it's true. But it's real right now.